Hello and welcome back to Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business. In today's episode, I'm chatting with Andy Hawkins, Chief Purpose Officer at Business on Purpose, which is a business that helps other businesses become forces for good through impact assessment and B Corp certification. In this conversation, we chatted through the ins and outs of B Corp, what it is, why it's important, and how a business can use the program to continually improve its impact on the three P's. Of course, we also cover the question I ask all our guests: is there such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet? But the thing about this conversation was that it really left me with a feeling of hope. If you've been following me or listened to any of these podcasts before, you'll know that I truly believe businesses of all sizes are in the perfect position to change the world by being mindful about their impact on people and planet. And so to hear Andy talk about the range of businesses that come to him looking to do better and to influence others to do the same, well, it just made me feel really hopeful for our future. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. Hello, Andy, and welcome to the Easy Being Green podcast.
Hi, nice to see you, Charlie. Happy Monday, and it's a beautiful one.
Isn't it beautiful? It's very hot in the UK at the moment. We're having a bit of a heat wave. So keep cool today, everyone. So let's chat about you. So your title on your email signature is C3PO, which really made me giggle because I love Star Wars. But other than the awesome Star Wars reference, what does this mean? Can you tell us a little bit more about you and your background and your business?
Yeah, well, for starters, I originally started my business a couple of years ago and was Chief Purpose Officer. But I've recently given myself a promotion and I'm now Chief Purpose People and Planet Officer. So the C3PO thing has gone down really well and is especially helpful when I talk to people about things like Jedi and using your business as the force for good. So those sorts of things are really great. I'm still trying to work out how I can get R2-D2 and other Star Wars related things in there, but I'm enjoying it. It's resonated quite well. So just to explain, for 20 years or so I was in tech and loved tech. You know, it was good to me, and I enjoyed helping people improve what they were doing from a business perspective using technology. That was all great. And then when I was 40-ish, my wife and I had never had a gap year, so we decided to have a gap year and headed out to South Africa and worked in a township. Instead of working there for a year, we worked there for 6 years, and it was an adventure. But during that time, I think I understood what it was like to do something purposeful with my life. Mm-hmm. And whilst it wasn't necessarily great from a financial perspective, it definitely did tick that sort of heart box and feeling purposeful. So when we came back to the UK, mm-hmm. I got involved in an environmental recycling business doing IT repurposing and reuse. And that was great. I then moved back into the IT world and was doing artificial intelligence software. And it was all very clever and whizzy and great. But I did miss that sense of purposefulness. So I set up my own tech consultancy business just over 2 years ago. Wanted to put that through B Corp. Struggled a little, was offered some consultancy, but it was, for me as a startup, exorbitantly expensive and couldn't really afford it. So I struggled my way through B Corp, reached out to a couple of mates who were very gracious and gave me some advice and help. But when I got my own B Corp pending certification through in August 2020, mm-hmm. the very next day, mate number one rang me and said, "Andy, you've just got B Corp. Give us a hand. We want ours." And within a month, I'd had five friends reach out. Mm-hmm. So at the end of that month, I thought, you know what, this is a great thing to be doing with my time. I enjoy it. It's right in the sweet spot of my ikigai. And let's give it a go. So roll the clock forward now, 21 months on from that. And I've been able to help 150 businesses with their B Corp journey. and life is going pretty well, you know, helping that number of businesses to measure and then improve their social and environmental impact feels really, really great. And now I've got 150 clients, you know, there's a lot of referral business coming through, and yeah, it's a really good thing. So that is a quick summary. I hope that's helpful.
That's brilliant. So it's, so you went through the process yourself, and somebody saw you doing that and said, you know, help me do that too. And I guess because you've gone through the process yourself, you can understand that, you know, the almost the fear or the apprehension of going into it as a business yourself. And so you can guide people through that process.
Yeah, it does feel a bit of a mountain to climb quite often. There's 150, 200 questions. What I've found is that a third of those people know straight off the bat, no problem. Another third people feel a bit 50-50 over, and another third, they are, I really haven't got a clue what that means. Can someone please help me? So yeah, it's been a good thing to be able to jump in and help clients going through that process and make it less, you know, make them less anxious about it. I've over the years developed this thing which we call our 10-step couch to 5K program. And amazing. That's been good, in the same way as going out today and running 5K might well fill me with some dread and fear. It definitely would. You know, I recognize that if I went through a certain program and you know, split it into bite-sized chunks and you know, trained and did put some time and effort in over a period of months in a consistent way, then I'd be able to get there. And the program that we run generally requires clients to put in about 2 hours a week, so it's manageable but meaningful, which is roughly half an hour's prep time before the call, 45 minutes on a call and 45 minutes homework. So it's something that, you know, everyone now feels is manageable and they can do. And for smaller businesses, we run a cohort, which I guess is a bit more like a park run, if we want to keep the running analogy nice. Going. And that's really nice. Lots of smaller businesses all going through it together, learning from each other, sharing knowledge, sharing the highs and the lows. And yeah, that's got a good level of accountability and attendance, and people are really keen to stick with the rest of the gang as they're going through, and that's been a really positive outcome as part of the cohort program.
Fantastic. So what sort of businesses do you work with? You mentioned the smaller businesses there for the park runs. Do you work with bigger businesses, smaller businesses, a wide range?
Yeah, so I guess at the moment my biggest business has been about 10,000 plus people, multi-billion, multinational, so a big outfit. Currently in talks with one that is 80,000 worldwide, you know, so that's a lot of people. So they are big businesses. And I still think, or what I found is that 10-step program is still absolutely pertinent and relevant and a good framework and structure for them. Mm. What I find with the smaller businesses is that they are generally devoid of a lot of process and policy that they need, whereas the bigger, more mature ones, I've got some of the processes and policies in place, but they need looking at and, you know, considering in the light of B Corp, do they need tweaking a little bit and just re-engineering to make them B Corp friendly? So they're starting from a slightly different position. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, you know, are still strong. What I tend to do is with businesses that are £2 million a year, 20 people plus, I'll help them on a one-to-one basis. Mm-hmm. And they'll generally appoint someone internally to be their B Corp project manager. Mm-hmm. And then with the smaller businesses, sub 2 million, sub 20 people, then we found that the cohort model has been a good model for them. So, yeah. And in terms of the types of different businesses of the 150 that I've helped, roughly 25% have been digital agencies, branding, marketing, SEO, that kind of thing. And another 25% have been food and beverage related. So there's a lot happening in the F&B space. And then the other 50% is a whole range of different things.
Wow. So as part of your job title and as part of what you do, you're also a bee leader. Now, can you explain to people who don't know what that is?
Yeah, so Bee Corp is administered by Bee Lab, and we have the Bee Impact Assessment. And when you get Bee Corp certified, you'll join a Bee Local, which is the local meetup group. So in keeping with the theme, I'm a bee leader. And to do that, I went through a program which Bee Lab ran to just make sure that I was kind of properly trained, I guess. And I did that in February last year with about 20 others. Becoming a bee leader is pretty popular. The last program they ran was October last year. And for 25 spaces, they had 1,000 applicants. So there's obviously a lot of people that are seeing Bee Corp as, and being a bee leader as being something that they want to add as a string to their bow and being useful. So, and in doing that, it does give you a lot more confidence to help people. That's not to say that you couldn't help consult or coach people through the Bee Corp program if you weren't a bee leader, but it was certainly useful for me having been helping companies for about 4 or 5 months before I'd gotten onto the bee leader training. I kind of knew where the pitfalls were and where the challenges were and what bits were easy. And so going through that bee leader training, that helped me to zone in a little bit and focus around some of those more challenging areas, one of which is a score area, which a company can qualify for called your impact business model. So does your business have a specific model that brings impact? And there's potentially around 20 different ways that a company can bring impact. Mm-hmm. A company like a recruiter or an accountant, they wouldn't necessarily have an impactful business model straight off the bat. Whereas a company such as Ecology, who are out there planting trees and, you know, that's the whole thing that they do, then they would pick up some points around having that impactful business model. So helping companies understand, do I have an IBM, an impact business model, or not? And if so, how do I measure that? How do I evidence that? What can I do to strengthen that? What's my story around that? That's been a really interesting aspect and one of the more challenging areas that people need a little bit of help landing and just thinking through. So going through the Bee Leader training was really useful from that perspective. And also just getting to get to know, you know, another 20 or so Bee Leaders that were on that same cohort as myself. We've now got a Slack channel where we all support each other and can list questions and, act as a community of backup for that. So that's a really useful resource, which I've been able to tap into as a result of becoming a Bee Leader.
Brilliant. It's really growing, isn't it? I mean, Bee Corp's been around for a fair long time, like quite a while.
Yeah, 10, 15 years in the States and 6 or 7 in the UK. It's 800 companies in the UK now, and it always feels as if it's more like 8,000 than 800 in the UK.
Yeah.
There is currently 1,000 or two in the audit process as we speak.
Right.
So it is continuing to grow exponentially, but certainly there's a huge interest around Bee Corp and companies doing the impact assessment. And I think whether a company wants to go Bee Corp or not, it's just a brilliant framework to help any company have a self-reflective look at how are we doing. It's just like standing on a set of scales and thinking, crikey, I need to lose a pound or two, or going for a quick jog around the track and getting a time laid down and thinking, okay, I now want to, you know, work towards bringing that time down. And I think going through the impact assessment is no different to that. It gives you a good benchmark, a good starting point. It highlights where you're doing really well and can celebrate, and rightly so. And it also highlights areas that perhaps you've never even considered before, or if you have, areas where you could perhaps improve. So it helps identify risk within the business, manage and mitigate that risk, And overall, it just makes you a much stronger, better, fitter, healthier company. So almost irregardless of B Corp, that's the cherry on the top of the cake. It helps you get a better cake. And I think a lot of companies aspire to that and think it's a great way to measure themselves. And so going through it in that programmatic type way with a little bit of help in a cost-effective way is a really good thing to do. So yeah, it's growing exponentially. I'm getting now one inquiry per day come through, which, you know, that's really strong for a one-person business, getting one inquiry almost unsolicited. And that's because the referral machine is now starting to work pretty well.
That's really interesting. I love your analogies, by the way. You put it in such language that's so relatable and easy to understand. But it's so interesting what you're saying about, you know, getting one inquiry in per day. So we connected because I was a panelist on Views for Change Impact webinar. And one of the questions that was given to us on that webinar was about why people, like businesses, like what's the benefit of signing up for B Corp? And it was interesting to hear people say that at the moment it's probably not a B2C thing, like consumers, is still a bit of work to be done for consumers to understand it, but the B2B network and what that provides on a B2B basis is absolutely huge. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so generically. I mean, I still think there is some strong B2C. There's, you know, companies like Body Shop, Innocent Drinks, Tony's Chocolone, you know, there are quite a few B2C brands out there, and certainly in the F&B space, they're all B2C. So there is quite a recognized brand, particularly in the F&B space with B2C. But certainly in the B2B, there's a lot of companies that are seeing themselves as purpose-driven companies, and they naturally want to trade with other purpose-driven companies who share their values, and therefore finding a B Corp is a really good way of finding your way through the morass of choice that there is. I chatted to an agency just before Easter, and they had pre-COVID been intending to go through the B Corp program themselves. Right. COVID had come along, everything had gone belly up, and they'd just been busy staying afloat. But their last three pitches that they had during March, they had lost to other agencies that were all B Corps.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, that's quite a wake up and smell the coffee moment. And therefore, they were onto me saying, you know, we need to do this and we need to do this ASAP. So it's interesting to see that organizations are using that. Another agency that I've been working with, they've been working with a global electronics company and entertainment company. And that company had come to them and said, unless you're a B Corp within the next 2 years, you're not going to be part of our supply chain. So that's laying down the gauntlet. And there's a number of global brands that are using the B Impact Assessment tool as a way to leverage and, raise the standards throughout their supply chain. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. One of my clients is Cotswold Fair. They're a large wholesale and retailer into fine farm food shops and delicatessens and that sort of kind of marketplace. And they have got 400 suppliers, which are all kind of artisanal brand type things. And of that, roughly 35 at the moment are B Corp out of the 400. Right. So I'm working with Paul Hargreaves and Clem and his team to kind of inculcate the B Corp program through his supply chain. So we're taking roughly 10 of their suppliers per quarter through that 3 month program. So we've completed two cohorts and we've got a third one starting in September. And that's a really great way for them to, as a larger company, help support their smaller companies in going through that program by almost just facilitating a Cotswold Fair B Impact Assessment cohort. That's been a really great model, and I'd love to do that with some of the other B Corps that are out there to just, increase the ripple effect of dropping that pebble in the pond, really. It's a great way of doing it.
I was literally thinking in my head, as you were saying that, what a great ripple effect. You know, you're speaking to one business and they've got a huge network themselves, and the impact you can have off the back of that is so huge. And I also love what you're talking about, because a lot of the smaller businesses that I speak to through this podcast and the other work that I do, they always say, well, where do I start with, you know, being a more responsible business? And that's, B Corp does that, doesn't it? Even if you don't go through and get the actual certification, if you follow the impact model, you're going to be a better business.
Yeah, I saw, post-COVID, post-Brexit, there was a lot of Build Back Better strategy papers coming out and that sort of thing. And I was chatting to, a couple of the local authority teams that were responsible for economic regeneration and that sort of thing. And one of the documents I saw was 87 pages of, this is why we need to be doing this. But in terms of the, well, how do I do it? Can somebody please just tell me, as an average business owner, how I can get started on this? I really think there's not a lot better than the B impact assessment. And yes, it does take a little bit of time and effort and resource to go through. But as I said at the beginning, you know, whether you go B Corp or not, that is the cherry on the top of the cake. But you will learn so much. You know, it's hugely educational. It is challenging, but there are things that every company is doing well, and that should rightly be celebrated. But it's just a great starting point, like stepping on that set of scales or taking your timed run around a circuit. It's a starting point that you can then build on. But most companies, in truth, have never carried out a social and environmental impact measurement exercise across their business. And if that went into legislation and forced every company to do it, I would be a very happy person, not just because it would mean lots of business, but because we would be living in a nation of much healthier and purposeful businesses. And I think we, as a B2B and B2C world, are desperately, desperately in need of that. And the world is desperately in need of that. So, bring it on, really.
Amazing. Absolutely agree. Okay, so once a business has its B Corp, it has its cherry on top, it has its certification, what happens next? Does it end there, or is there more work to do? I think it's going to probably be the latter. And the second part of that question is, and I think you've kind of answered that, but I wanted to see if there's anything else. How can the business then use that certification to keep improving its impact on the three P's?
Yeah, so the B impact assessment covers five specific areas, which is governance, workers, community, environment, and customers. Mm-hmm. So you'll end up with a scorecard across each of those five impact areas. So on an ongoing basis, once you reach B Corp certification, you'll be recertified every 3 years. Mm-hmm. But in the interim 2 years, you as a business will need to publish your own annual social and environmental impact report. Mm-hmm. So if you like, you'll mark your own homework for 2 years and teacher comes back and marks the homework on year three. So that's the kind of cadence. And because you've got those five impact areas, they're really good scorecards to help get you going for producing your annual social and environmental impact statement. And of course, no one likes to stand still or even go backwards in any of those areas. That's not really good. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way of working through what it is you've not been able to do right now, but could aspire to do. Mm-hmm. And that could be a whole range of things. It could be engaging with your employees more to look at how you could care for your employees better in terms of annual leave or mental health and well-being. It looks at things like menopause and period leave and bereavement and pet bereavement and all sorts of different things that you might not have ever considered before. It looks at the community and what you're doing in your community, how you're looking after your suppliers and your contractors, what you're doing in your community, what is your attitude towards volunteering and pro bono work and so on and so forth. That's really interesting and almost certainly an area that every business can continue to improve on. Mm-hmm. Environmentally, you know, a lot of companies are working towards net zero. So using the environmental aspect of the B impact assessment helps companies move towards that, keep measuring it, helps them get together a carbon reduction plan that they can then implement and continue to fine tune. So it's just a really great framework to keep you on the straight and narrow, really. So that's been a really positive and healthy thing. And I quite often will help support clients when they're going through their actual B impact assessment, maybe on a weekly basis. But then once they've got their certification, I might still continue to support them on a monthly or a quarterly basis, just to keep them honest and keep them robust, and give them feedback and information as to where they could go next in terms of their next stretch and what it is they need to aspire to. So that's been a really good thing, to almost see your little B Corp babies get up, get running, and eventually get to become even fitter and even better. And it's a real delight to see those companies grow and develop year on year. So there is definitely a route map forward. And also, it's worth saying that the B impact assessment itself as a toolkit has reiterations roughly every 3 years. So you won't answer exactly the same questions every 3 years, which keeps you on your toes and is a really great way of just making sure that things stay strong and keep things fresh. 10 years ago, maybe the environmental bandwagon was relatively up and running, although 10 years later, there's still tons to do. Mm-hmm. But things like diversity and inclusion and Black Lives Matters and, gender balance generally weren't quite as strong 10 years ago as the environmental piece was, but have been coming up on the rails much more so in recent years. So the current impact assessment is reflective and is weighted a little more towards encouraging companies to get into that space and consider what they're doing in that space. So who knows what will be happening with the next iteration. They've been out to consultation recently, and that will be published and issued next year. But it will probably include things around results of the pandemic and the fact that we've got a lot more virtual workforce and people are working from home. And how do you keep your employees engaged and supported well whilst at home? And what is the economic impact of more people working from home? And so I suspect the impact assessment will, tweak slightly to include those sorts of things in the next iteration, which is a really great way of doing it.
Brilliant. It's always evolving, which it needs to with the time. And like you're saying, it's a challenging process to go through, but it has to be, doesn't it? That's so important.
Yeah, it definitely does. And, there is occasionally some, challenging press and PR out there where some B Corps have, not been everything that they should be. And people have perhaps criticized B Corp in some way, shape or form, around purpose washing, greenwashing. Oh, that company's got B Corp, surely it can't be a good thing. And my view, in honesty, without knowing any of the details as to what's happened in any of those cases, so I'm rather reluctant to judge without all of the facts and figures in front of me. Mm-hmm. But what I say to people that are the potential naysayers is, what I can tell you is that of the 150 businesses that I've helped, they have all done an incredible job, really robust. They've really tried their best and have really lifted the bonnet to see what they can do to be better. And anecdotally and experientially, therefore, all I can say is it's been a brilliant exercise for those 150. And if there are people that are of that view, my advice would be to go through it yourself. Yeah. See what you reckon. And at the other end of the program, whether you just complete the B impact assessment or go full B Corp certification, then make a judgment call on whether you think it's purpose washing, greenwashing, or any of that. And I suspect that the people that are the critics of it have not been through it, and those that are B Corps want to make sure that B-Lab are holding everyone to account. Mm-hmm. And so B-Lab has got quite a strict and astringent investigation process that is pretty robust. And all of these complaints as such are fully investigated, and a full report is given to try and keep the standard honest and strong and robust. And I applaud that, and I'm happy to be part of that movement. But there's some naysayers out there, but I would just encourage any of them to just take the program, get on board, see what it's like, and focus more on what you're doing rather than taking pot shots at what somebody else is or isn't doing. Let's all of us take our own personal responsibility, whether it's individually in our home lives or corporately in our business lives. If we all focus more on ourselves and worry less about what others are doing, I think the world would be a better and, I would say, potentially kinder place.
You're so right. That is great advice. And so the last question I'm going to ask you, which is a great way to end on after that fantastic seller advice, is a question we ask everybody on this podcast, which is, do you think there is such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet?
Well, I guess, you know, you've got people like Patagonia who would be pretty out there as a stellar exemplar of what a good business would be. But in their last impact report, Patagonia themselves were very quick to call out how much they've learned and how much they've done, but how much further they feel that they as a company still need to go in terms of staff care and environmental and planetary care. The answer is no. I don't think that there is any company who has arrived at the destination that they need to. Some are definitely getting there. And with all of these things, the higher you fly, the more difficult it is to reach that that fruit that you need to. But hats off to those businesses that have been on this journey for a number of years and keep going and keep striving and keep stretching. You know, we need those companies to go further and to go higher and to go faster. So there are some great examples out there, but for the majority of us, we're only just getting started, and the B impact assessment is a great way to get started and become, almost embed it as part of a lifestyle choice that you make as a business, that we are going to become a healthier business as a result of this. And that's a great way to embed it within your whole culture. So it's not just the B Corp project manager or the CEO or, the sustainability manager, and it's his or her baby. Yeah. You know, we really want this embedded within every aspect of the business. And that's part of what we do when we go through the B impact assessment, is get it embedded across the whole business. So lots more to do, but at least there's a roadmap as to how any company can take steps to get there.
Brilliant. That is the perfect place to end this conversation. Thank you so, so much for your time, Andy. I've learned so much today, and I know this is going to be really, really useful for our listeners. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Charlie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business. I've been your host, Charlie Ferrand-Higgins, and I was in conversation with Andy Hawkins, the Chief Purpose Officer at Business on Purpose. After we finished recording, Andy told me that there is a sliding scale for working with Business on Purpose, and it depends on a business's annual turnover. So no matter what your budget is, there is an option there for your business. You can find out more about that by visiting businessonpurpose.uk, dropping Andy an email to andy@businessonpurpose.uk, or connecting with Andy Hawkins on LinkedIn. I'll put all of that information in the show notes so it's easily accessible there. And of course, all our episode transcripts are also available on our website, easybeinggreenpodcast.com. I hope you found today's podcast inspiring and informative. If you have any comments, questions, or if you would like to be a guest yourself right here with me, you can get in touch with me via email, hello@easybeinggreenpodcast.com, or on Instagram @TheEasyBeingGreen Podcast. Until next time, thanks so much for being here, and don't forget to keep it green.